Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome back, sports fans, to another episode of the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, in the water, do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. We're joined by our buddies at the Snapback Sports Pod, so get excited, buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. 3, 2, 1. We're back.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
One fucking
play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Rebound box. Back out to Allen. History final. Bang! Tie game!
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Hit your free throws, because they're free. So 261 coming hot at you guys in the So 260. And I'm joined on this one by offensive and defensive coordinators Alex Toss Me the Rock to Supplice and Nikki Snacks Kreider. And as you heard in the introduction, you'll hear again our boys at Snapback Sports, the podcasters, Jack and Abe. We have a great one with some basketball talk, with some football talk, some sports memories, because we always do that in the show when we bring on new people. And it's just a really fun one, and we want you guys to enjoy. So without further ado, and up yabbing, here we go. The podcast. Have fun listening. You heard it in the introduction. We are joined on the podcast by some fellow podcasters, our friends from the Snapback Pod, Jack Seidelman, Abe Granoff. Gentlemen, how are you guys doing today? Welcome to the Charity Stripe. Excited for this little crossover.
I'm ready.
Appreciate you guys having us on.
We all just came up on it because the Sixers lost last night.
We already did that. We already did that an hour ago when we recorded.
Team up on Abe. Abe, the Sixers game. Look, I'm a Celtics fan, and I don't want to play you guys. I think Embiid's a problem down low. I think the Shake Milton 0 points is an anomaly. I don't foresee that happening again. Ditto with the Richardson bad game. All that being said, Nate McMillan has to be the most underrated coach in the entire NBA, because that Pacers team without Sabonis, without Brogdon, still came to play. People forget that TJ Warren could go off on a scorcher. And while I'd rather play you guys, it's a bad loss. I don't know if I was as bummed as you were, but I was definitely really bummed, because now they're the fifth seed, the Pacers, and we have to play you guys as it stands.
Yeah, I shook it off by the time I went to bed, I shook it off, because I'm like, I kind of want to play you guys too, for the fact that I want to be on the side of the Bucks and not on the Bucks and have to play, because I'm just looking past you guys, having to play Toronto in the second round. But my thing with the Celtics was why I agree you guys shouldn't want to play us, because you guys don't have much interior, and that's where Joel Embiid becomes a problem.
We are good on the interior offensively. Like, Tyus can get buckets. Cantor can get buckets. They're good on the offensive rebound. They're good on the putbacks. It's just defensively, we have no matchup. We had no matchup for Giannis. We'll have no matchup for Embiid. I think Bam's a major issue for us, which is why I'm kind of glad as of now we're avoiding the Heat. And we probably won't see them.
Sounds like you don't want to play anyone.
No, I mean, like, I really just want to play the Magic and the Nets, honestly. But who doesn't at this point? But yeah, I mean, I think so. As a Sixers fan, like, I know you've shaken it off, but like, taking that for what it was yesterday, how are you feeling about your chances? Like, because a lot of people were off on the Sixers; they were disappointing. Now they're back on the Sixers as a quote unquote dark horse. So do you find that the Sixers are a team that can really take it to the next level and get to the championship, or is it a lost cause? Are you just being hopeful?
She texted in the group chat. He said, Sixers to the finals. All right, Let me just step in here because I feel like I have to control my child, which is Abe right now.
I'm older
he's
than
going
you.
He's going to spew about how it doesn't matter what happens. They're the best team in the East. That's he doesn't care anyway. He's looking past the five teams ahead of them in the standings.
Listen,
so I'll answer for you. Yes, we're going to the finals.
Just looking at last night in a nutshell, the things I noticed was a lot of the same problems that we've had for years. It was a lot of turnovers, which – I put on the coach because after a long time, you got to change your problems. This has been a problem for 3 years. It was we let our foot off the gas when we have a lead. We had a 10-point lead with 8 minutes left. And then the lastly is what can we do when Joel Embiid is not on the court? And we saw that lead evaporate in 3 minutes when he left the court. So last night was scary in the fact that the problems still persist that were in the past. That being said, Jack took the words right out of my mouth.
No fear on anybody. Well, I'll kick it to my guys over there on tossing.
No, I mean, I think it was a very problematic loss that you guys had because I'm looking at teams right now with a critical lens. And if you don't have anyone outside of your big three who can create and give you 15 points automatically, it's a big red flag for me. And for a guy like Richardson to put up 4 points, a guy like Thibault to put up four, and Shake Milton to have a zero, like a goose, like that's a and Horford to be your next leading scorer with 10, like they just don't have enough depth, like depth that can go and get a bucket whenever you need it. That's my big red flag for them.
And it's not like Ben Simmons can go get a bucket, and also Tobias is a good scorer, but when I think about go get a bucket late in the game,
isolation, you think of isolation,
right? And
clear
Tobias
out.
I feel like we're bad guests at a house where we come in, put our feet up on the table by bringing Sixers filth into your podcast.
I just answered.
To Nate McMillan. No, because I put a future on them. I think it, like, the Sabonis injury kind of knocks
them
out.
You can burn that money.
But Brogdon, Oladipo, Turner, and Sabonis, and then Warren, like, that five can do weird things, but not anymore.
Little Aaron Holiday off the bench too. Yeah. Like
and they
that.
Had Lamb. He got hurt.
Yeah.
Whatever.
They always get
shaken
down.
Last night was bad.
Yeah. It was bad. No, it's telling when your big three have big three performances. Tobias Harris, who we've been knocking the entire season, goes out and gets a 30 spot. Simmons doesn't have more than 20 points, but he had 18 and he was effective in other ways as he normally is. And Embiid has a monster game and you still end up losing. Like that's not NBA championship winning basketball.
Beautiful.
Well, that's like that. I think you bring up the good point, Toss, with like if you're outside the big three, if they can't go get a bucket, you're in trouble. And you look at the Blazers today, right, with Nurkic, obviously Lillard and McCollum, but then you had Gary Trent Jr., who is on fire and is proven to be more than just like a guy who could be in the NBA. He could actually be a 6th, 7th, 8th man off the bench and be a really hot contributor. But that's why at the beginning of the playoffs, I go to Toss. I said, Toss, I think the Jazz are a team that can be kind of dangerous and potentially make a run. Toss goes, you're crazy. I go, they don't have Bogdanovich. I go, I know they don't have Bogdanovich, but I have faith in Spider. I have faith in this team. But it kind of goes back to your point. Yeah, Clarkson's good, but outside of, you know, they don't have guys that can really go and make shots and make big buckets. And their offense was just clogged and messy yesterday. And to me, they're no longer a threat. And I would kind of liken them to the Sixers of the Western Conference. If that's kind of
it's fair. Pretty crazy how NBA basketball changes when you put the playoff ambiance involved. And right now these games, these 8 games preceding the playoffs are basically playoff games.
Yeah.
Like, and I love that. I mean, I think it's making it so enjoyable to watch. I'm watching every single game and I'm like, this is good basketball. Like, this
Which is surprising to me because going into it, I thought there would be a lot of teams trying to get their legs under them, trying to build some chemistry. But even with the built-in fan noise, like, you really can't tell there aren't fans there. I think Jack
fan noise today was
electric. Yeah, and then the Blazers Celtics game.
Yeah, honestly,
Paul Pierce looked like an idiot on the sideline.
Okay, I don't even care. Like, listen, you know, if this, first of all, if this podcast gets to Paul Pierce, like, we're in amazing shape. I think Paul Pierce, I cannot stand him. After he retired, he crushes me every chance he gets. He lit a victory cigar in the second quarter today, and they called him out on it. I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
You got the win.
We were up 24.
They didn't get the cover.
All right, which ex-Celtic is worse, him or Perk? Because Perkins.
Oh, my God.
Okay, we tried to get Perkins on the show, so I took down, I took down, I took down an archive Instagram where I absolutely toasted both
roasted them.
I roasted both of them for the back-to-back worst analysis in the history of sports commentary. It actually, there's times like, listen, there's times where I look at this and go, wow, what am I doing? Do I really have a future in sports media? And then I watch Paul, you know, Paul Pierce and Kendrick Perkins do their thing, and I'm like, I don't, I know I don't have the NBA experience, but I could totally lap these guys. Absolute hot garbage, dude. Perk was telling Oladipo he should just go give it a shot and go play. I mean, the guy's coming off a major knee injury. If he's not comfortable, what kind of advice from a former player is to go test it out? You know, it's this guy's livelihood. And then Paul Pierce is like, I agree. And then there was just utter silence for like 20 seconds.
And then Rachel Nichols is like super awkward, just sitting there in silence.
Rachel Nichols is like, kill me twice.
If a playoff contending team rolled out Kendrick Perkins now at starting center, like the Thunder used to do, how much we would bash them. Like, it's ridiculous that that ever was a thing, and that the opening play was always feed it to Kendrick in the post, get him a little baby hook. Like, get out of here.
We won the title with him as our center.
That's not why you won the title.
And in a whole different obviously. era of basketball, granted.
It's crazy.
So, yeah. Giannis just destroyed you guys the other night, but I bring it up because Abe and I were just discussing when we were recording. He said that Giannis should have been knocked out of the game when he hit Tice, you know, below the belt. That was like, it was unintentional, but that's a common foul. It just happened to be a six. But the charge block, Abe still thinks it's a charge. Do you think it's a charge? I thought it was clearly
the mark is smart
under him.
I don't know. I mean, I don't even think that's like called or why we lost the game. I just think I didn't have an opinion on that one, to be honest. I can't even put the call in my head at the top of it. That game to me was just watching Tatum take his lumps, and this game was watching him show why he's a superstar and come back. The way he played today was fantastic. That game was just super tough for him on that standpoint. We're also playing without Kemba, too. So Kemba is like Kemba's not playing. You know what I'm saying? He's in and out. He's playing in spurts. But this is a shell of the Kemba Walker we signed. It's kind of like the Hayward situation all over again. Not as bad, obviously, with the injury. But now when we need Kemba most, like when we needed Hayward most, they can't really contribute. I mean, Hayward's kind of come back full circle. He looks super fluid and super silky today. He's obviously amazing from the line. I don't know about you guys. Every time I'm watching my team and the best free throw shooter goes to the line and the announcers are talking on and on about how good of a free throw shooter.
They always miss.
I'm like,
always
dude, miss.
No, because did you hear today Van Gundy called out Breen and yes. then he made all of them, though.
He made all of them, but like Van Gundy's like, dude, stop. It's like, listen, you're a Ravens fan. Like, how do you feel every time Justin Tucker comes up and they go, Justin Tucker, he's 37 from 37 from 50 plus.
He makes it every time except for the Saints game, and I was in the car and I didn't see it. So
he hasn't missed
an extra point.
He missed one against us like years ago. I think that's the only bad miss I've ever seen him have. To me, he really is. We love doing cross sports on this show. It's probably our favorite hobby. He's like the Mariano Rivera of the NFL.
Yeah.
He's insane. It's actually wild.
I like that.
We watch him kick and we still get nervous. And then afterwards, you think about it. It's like he actually never misses unless it's like 55 plus wind against him.
Yeah. He's
that's cross a very.
Sport. I brought up a cross sport last night, so I'm interested what you think about this. Eli Manning is Brooks Koepka.
I didn't get that.
Yeah, I don't
Brooks
understand
Koepka
that.
Has never won a regular event, just has three majors, Eli two Super Bowls, and is god-awful any time besides he's making a playoff run.
Yeah, but Koepka is like
– yeah, I'm not wrong with that.
What's like Koepka, though? What is
he's
he?
He's not playing great golf right now.
He's got a knee injury.
Traditionally, he's a top 10 player in the world consistently, and Eli was not a top 5 quarterback in the league.
But Koepka doesn't win anything.
I think you're on your own with this one.
Yeah, the effort
also,
is absolutely
also,
amazing.
Also, Koepka smokes him in the looks category. It's not even
definitely
close to
yeah, dude. Yeah, dude. Brooks Koepka like looks at the like the fucking dad who's still a stud. Like this is like very LA, but he's like he looks like, you know, like the Persian dad that comes in is killing it with the hot Persian wife like 15 years younger. And you're like, damn, I wish I was that guy. And Eli is like the weird, you know, random random guy who just works with, you know, the husband who shouldn't be, who shouldn't be at the bar mitzvah kind of thing, but he's just there and he's going to drink, he's going to drink his rum and cokes. He's not going to dance a single song. He's going to watch the horror and be like, what the hell is this? And he's going to leave at 10 PM before candlelighting. That's what Eli Manning is. to me,
so far we're not getting Kendrick Perkins, Paul Pierce, or Eli Manning on the show.
On the show. I don't think Eli cares. Honestly, he doesn't give a shit.
We're a non-Dudley pod. I don't know.
We're not just a non-Dudley pod. We are a very much anti-Jared Dudley podcast.
Really?
What's your beef with Dud?
So in the beginning of quarantine, he was supposed to come on. Right whenever all the stay-in orders happened. Jack reached out to him on Twitter or something, whatever. He was supposed to come on. It was like 5:30 on a Friday. And where we hop on, it's just like a Zoom where you see waiting for someone in the waiting room. Jack and I are there preparing what questions we're going to ask him. And he's nowhere to be found. Probably 10, 15 minutes go on. Jack shoots him a DM. And then he finally responds to the DMs like, hold up, I'm watching this game. And Jack and I are like, bro, sports just got shut down. What game is this guy watching? So we're going through it and we go to his Twitter. Dude, this guy is watching on ESPNU an old ACC tournament game that he was in when this loser who averages 1 point per game in the NBA is the 17th man on a team, has hair, and then he lost it all. He's literally live tweeting a game that happened 20 years ago that he was in that maybe seven people are watching. And he's like, yeah, I got you. I got you after the game. So obviously Jack tunes into the game. I'm like, I'm not watching.
He was kind of hooping. It was a good game, but it was only a semifinal.
Finally, the game ends. I'm like going, I have like dinner plans or something. We hop on. We're like, all right, let's just run.
We're pissed because meanwhile,
Jack is texting me. Are we really waiting for a guy that averages 1.1 points and like 2 points? Like, is there a time that we have to look ourselves in the mirror and like give us some props for having some standards? And like, we ended up waiting for him. Obviously, he never showed up, just ghosted our DMs. And then, didn't he like reach out to you, Jack?
Yeah, the worst part is then he gets on Instagram, like you start his Instagram and sends another DM. He's like, yo, shout out my Instagram. I'm like, yeah, bro, I got
the
you.
Nerve.
Just give me 8 hours.
The
give me
nerve,
eight
dude.
So it's safe to say that interview was a dud.
Oh, man. There you go.
I
didn't think of that one.
The way you were describing the story, I thought you were going to say, you guys are on the Zoom, you're ready to go. He hops on the Zoom. Like looks at y'all because I've had this fear before where like Bill Walton,
they look at you and they're
Bill,
like
Bill Walton hops on the Zoom, he looks at us, he goes,
I'm out.
No, I'm good, it's not worth my time.
That would have been the other way around for Bill Walton. If we looked at him, it would have been like, okay, what is that background you have there?
For Abe and I, Abe's pretty stubborn, I'm pretty stubborn. If Jared Dudley had said no to us, I mean that would have been the end of our
we would have sold a million t-shirts. Yeah. I still want to sell t-shirts that say fuck Dudley.
That's hilarious. Abe, you're the Nick of our podcast, because Nick is first team, like fuck that guy. We're not dealing with that at all.
Dude,
right,
like,
now.
Why?
Abe is the king of that.
Dude, these athletes, they don't want to be looked as athletes. They want to be looked as people just like we. So I'm going to treat you like a person. If you're an asshole, you're an asshole.
Yeah. Right, we're on time for this podcast.
We were right on time. I clicked at 8 o'clock.
And I think this gives a bad rep to athletes like you guys and us both. We went through a fun run during quarantine, and 95% of athletes, either they'll message you saying, hey, I'm going to be late, or they're on time and they're perfectly professional.
Yeah.
Not Jared.
Nick, we had this one guy. It was kind of like, you know, we were doing this one to get to another one kind of deal. And
It was Rey Mysterio's manager.
And
I'm going to call him right now.
That was probably an awesome interview.
No, we didn't do it.
It was a similar situation where he like ghosted us. Then he like emailed us. He goes, hey guys, like, what about next week? And we're like, bro, like, all right, we'll give you one shot. And we tried it again the next week. Did the exact same thing. Ghosted us in reply. And he goes, hey guys, can we make it work again? And I was like, T-shirts.
We were like, the thing with that is, like, I am such a big WWE fan that I'm willing to risk any, I'll shamelessly go for it. I don't care what it would have taken to get to Rey Mysterio. Because that I would have gone for it. I would have done it.
We are making a T-shirt, Fuck Dudley and Mysterio.
Right. We'll see.
I can't even call him by his name because, like, who knows his name?
That was definitely a lower point for us. Speaking of low points, there was a massive low point back to the sports for the Pels yesterday. Nick, I'll kick it to you. you might be sitting prettiest. How do you feel about that Clippers game yesterday, man?
They looked good, man. I mean, love to see Paul George, you know, actually leading the team finally. I mean, can't leave it all up to Kawhi. So, but they look good.
Yeah, Paul George was absolutely electric. I mean, just when people kind of sleep on Paul George and forget he's there, he just comes in and bangs and bangs and bangs and bangs. Then you go to guard him outside, and then he beats you on the dribble and goes to the rack. He's just an uber athletic guy. It's
I'm curious what you guys thought. So Jack and I last week we ranked on our show the top three players in the bubble outside of the top five. So we both agreed it was in no particular order: LeBron, Giannis, Kawhi, AD, and Harden. We agreed those are the top five players in the bubble. We then ranked the next best three players. I had – Jack, you didn't have Paul George in. I had Paul George as my – I had three was Luka, two was Paul George, and one was Joel Embiid.
The fact that you don't have Damian Lillard in there is
– I had Dame. I had Dame as number one.
Watch what that guy does, dude. He's – I said to Josh, I said, is he as good as Steph? I said that.
Stop.
Look. Steph's the top 15 player in the league, but I think the
Wow. Well, he's right. Technically, he's right. Yeah.
He's also.
We're good. We're okay. We're good.
He's way higher than that.
No touching of the hair and face, guys. No touching of the hair and face.
Josh and I both had Steph Curry in our all time top 15. Yeah. I think I had him at 12. Josh had him at 13 or something like that.
Yeah.
And he's only going to go up. I think they're going to have a fantastic year next year. The Warriors are going to be back easy. Yeah. But I think the way that Damian Lillard is so dynamic and so hard to guard, even when he's doubled, he gets past the big man, takes to the rack, and he's amazing.
Paul George, though, it's like for me, it's the first time it finally feels like we're seeing a fully healthy Paul George. And we're seeing the damage that he can actually do, especially on both ends of the floor.
I mean, last year he was amazing.
Nick's statement is exactly how I feel, which is it's nice to see Paul George leading the team again. But we see this in spurts, and then he disappears for five games. And that, if they play the Lakers, he cannot disappear for one night, let alone five games.
That's true.
It's crazy that Lou Will is a more consistent player than Paul George is. And so they haven't been playing with Lou Will nor Montrez. And I think that's just like when they get those guys back, it's scary.
Another thing that was impressive in the Laker game, it was a close game, but they didn't have Trez and they didn't have Lou Will. I mean, that game could have been the other way if there.
And you saw that they missed Trez big time because Anthony Davis just had his way with them. But
exactly,
he needs to do even more.
AD will do work on Montrez, no doubt. Like that's going to happen again.
He'll make it tough, but he won't stop him.
I think he's unstoppable. He's the best player on that team.
Come on!
Don't acknowledge him.
I don't know if that's a true statement, Jack, but I think when they're matched up against the Clippers, it's definitely a true statement.
That's not up for debate. Anthony Davis gives the Clippers more problems than LeBron James, but yes, I do believe Anthony Davis has been the Lakers' best player this season.
I'm a huge LeBron guy, and it's noted. It's noted on the show. I mean, the thing with Anthony Davis that's remarkable, because everyone in the NFL, and we'll get to the NFL top 100 because there's like a couple questions that you want to fire around to the whole, you know, the squad kind of Tony Reale thing. Everyone in sports focuses on offense. It's a reason why, aside from the fact that nobody cares as much about baseball anymore, let alone the Oakland Athletics, that no one knows who Matt Chapman is. You know, the people just don't. The defense in sports is just so underappreciated. And the aspect of Anthony Davis's game that I find so remarkable is that he is such an obviously offensive powerhouse, but he's the defensive player of the year this year. You know, he's an absolute stud on the defensive end. All that being said, LeBron is 35 years old, and he led the league.
No. That can't be part of it.
He led the league in assists, bro.
Okay.
He's LeBron.
That's excellent. Excellent.
Just mute Jack.
Josh, we haven't talked about this in a while, but do you think that LeBron should have won MVP this year?
No.
Because if you say yes, that discredits you so much.
As a LeBron full-on apologist, you just can't say that
Giannis. No. Giannis is the best player in the league, man. Giannis is the best.
Okay, let's pump the brakes.
What
That's
do you mean?
Factual. Look, it's pretty simple. Imagine this team. Imagine this team, Giannis and Anthony Davis. Teams would average about 42 points per game against them.
I told you it wouldn't work.
They would score 180. That would be the best team ever.
I don't know if the wouldn't. My philosophy is this, and correct me if I'm wrong. I think it gets to a point once you have two of the top 10 players in the NBA on the same team, it's going to work no matter what. There's no it doesn't work at that point.
Unless it's a center like Joel Embiid.
Okay, anyway, Jack texted me that how many games would Giannis and AD win, and I immediately said Giannis could not handle the Los Angeles market.
Okay, how about this?
From Milwaukee.
Top five players in the NBA, the ones that you guys threw away from that top three list in the bubble,
mm-hmm.
who's the best pairing that we can put together? Is it LeBron and Anthony Davis?
No, it's Giannis and Anthony Davis.
Is it not? What about James Harden and Giannis or Anthony Davis?
Pick out of a hat and you can win a championship.
The funniest part about that question, just building a duo, I think LeBron and Kawhi are probably 4 and 5 for me. Like, I would combine Harden, AD, Giannis before I use the other two, which is nuts to say.
I don't know.
I think Kawhi and anybody. Anthony Davis.
Jack doesn't like Kawhi.
That's not true. I think Kawhi
He's
Leonard.
Disrespectful towards Kawhi. Kawhi He's the second
Leonard,
best player.
Is the closest comp to Michael Jordan we've ever seen. And I think Kawhi Leonard, what's so special about Kawhi that's different from Michael, obviously, is he doesn't need to get 30. He gets exactly what he needs. His offensive mentality kind of reminds me of Paul Pierce's, in a sense, when I liked Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce would kind of go out, and you would look up at the scoreboard. You'd be halfway through the fourth quarter. You really wouldn't notice it, but next thing you know, Paul Pierce has 28 points, and he's shooting the lights out of the place, and it's just good, smart shots.
Okay, Kawhi doesn't take. I think every elite scorer does that nowadays.
But no, but my point is, well, nowadays, but back then it wasn't like that. One and two. But nowadays you're focused on the scores. Paul Pierce, I just felt like he was slept on offensively. I feel like people are not looking at Kawhi's offensive abilities. It happened in the game that you, me, and Nick and Brandon went to, where we're watching the game. Kawhi's having a good game, and the next thing I know, I looked up at the scoreboard. He's got like 26, just like a cool 26. He got what he needed to get. And that goes back to my thing is, if I'm gonna pair one superstar with anybody, I think the first superstar I would pick, outside of LeBron, and I only say not because I think LeBron's the best player right now, because I think it's Giannis, but I think LeBron just is such a good facilitator and is so good at making the other person better. I think the second person I would probably go with, though, is Kawhi, is because he doesn't demand a lot. He does exactly what you need him to do, and it's why him and Paul George work really well together, and this is why I'm so confident in the Clippers, is because neither of them, you know, they're not needy. And that's an issue
It's a low usage. That's what you're keying in on. Like, as good as LeBron is, he needs the ball in his hands the majority of the time he's on the floor. So I think that's a great point. When you're picking someone for a duo, you need a low usage guy.
I feel like if you're picking anyone from that top five, you're automatically getting to the playoffs, right? And you're automatically going to be a high seed. So at that point, my number one pick has to be someone who's the most elite bucket getter in crunch time minutes, and that's Kawhi over any of those guys. Because I think it used to be LeBron, but I think he's got to the point now where if he has one of the best two-way defenders on him, like Paul George, like Kawhi, it's tough for him to get a bucket. I mean, there was a defensive lap in that game against the Clippers, right, and he follows his shot, and that's how he scores. That's a tough shot.
That's the worst shot of all time.
Tough shot.
So as basketball fans, let's say one of the LA teams wins. I'm torn on which LA team I'd rather win, because obviously me want for the storybook ending, I want the Lakers to get it.
I'm not torn.
Nick, I know you're not torn, but I'm a little torn because of you, because I really want you to get a championship, and I know it's not happening with the Chargers this year, and as much as I like the Padres, you know, a couple days ago, the Rockies have been giving them some fits.
Okay, so whatever. This season's a wash anyway. Asterisk. This is like us prepping for next year's World Series run. It's all good.
which LA team would you guys rather win?
Nick, it's just no question. I'll go first. It's no question. It's the Lakers.
Yeah.
I'm a LeBron guy, plain and simple.
I'd rather the Lakers win than the Clippers. I just don't think they will.
Jack was a Clippers fan in college.
CP3. That Jack, was my guy.
Yeah, Jack is lying through his teeth.
That is not if you offered to me on a silver platter, would you rather the Lakers win, LeBron wins, Kobe, whole thing, or the Clippers, who I have literally zero ties to?
What I would pick Kawhi, the Lakers. Though? What about Kawhi winning back to back for different teams? That's amazing.
That would be cool, but he could do it. I mean,
Jack wears the biggest "I am not a LeBron James hater" mask, and he just refuses.
I'm not. I just ask pointed questions, and people get upset. For example, you said LeBron makes his teammates better, but then every time he joins up with another superstar, Kevin Love gets thrown in the corner, and Chris Bosh gets thrown in the corner, and he's so good at making his teammates better. But then Jordan Clarkson, Rodney Hood, and the Funky Bunch on Cleveland was the worst team ever. And then they go other places and they're not superstar, averaging 15 plus a game. So I just ask pointed questions.
And the answer is that he turned Kevin Love and Chris Bosh into a champion.
Right.
Yeah, and then Rodney Hood, I see where you're going. I just don't think even Rodney Hood's mom would call him a superstar because
I took back superstar very quickly
to retract that. All right, well, we'll go around and then in that case, Toss, we'll go with you first. From what you've seen so far in opening weekend, what teams do you think are going to go to the championship? And then what are two teams that are going to be surprises, or the second best teams that, for that matter, out of the West and East that can get there for you?
And I think I want the Lakers to win out of the LA teams.
Yeah.
But I think the Clippers to me look like they're the most complete team, best coach, best bucket getters at the end of the game through and through, their main stars and their bench guys. I mean, like, let's get the ball out of Reggie Jackson's hand, you know?
He played well, though. He played well.
He's just not good.
Yeah, he sucks. I hate him.
And then on the East, I just think, honestly, I think the Raptors, like, really scare me.
Yeah, they look good, man.
They're just a complete team. And again, like, I think depth is just so – I think it's so important. And I think having a great head coach, I think Nick Nurse is a better head coach than Mike Budenholzer. They're my, like, number one out of the East. So I think it's going to be Clippers, Raptors, which would be interesting because obviously Kawhi is then playing his former team. And ooh. I think they would win. They would win in that series.
What a storyline that would be, though, if the Raptors beat the Clippers.
Their bench isn't deep enough, though. Their bench doesn't score.
The Raptors?
Yeah, I think the Clippers would run circles around them.
Yeah, Clippers are just so insanely deep. Like the pickup of Morris is amazing.
But he's been terrible. And at what point from them, but whatever.
At what point in the NBA playoffs, though? Because yes, depth is important, but you're not rolling out 5-man bench rotations. You know what I mean? You're keeping to 3 guys, and maybe a 4. So it comes a point where you got to lock in on 3 or 4 guys, and if those guys aren't delivering, then what really is your depth?
I think the Raptors, like, to a point, though, that you throwing them in there, I think it's, you know, becoming a safe pick for people to put them in the sense that they have the depth of the bigs. Like, rotating Ibaka and Gasol through is great.
I also think that, like, if you're late in the shot clock and you're the Lakers and the ball gets swung to Alex Caruso with 8 seconds left, or it gets swung to Norman Powell, I want Norman Powell going to the rack and getting fouled or shooting a spot of 3. He's just a better player than Caruso is right now, and he has more experience late in seasons, late in playoffs. So I think that's, like, the kind of depth that you need at the 6, 7, 8 guys. Mm-hmm. You know, and they have that. And OG is also really underrated. I love
it. Wasn't there for the playoff run last year either.
No.
Right. And then my sleeper teams are, I think the Rockets and the Mavs are both sleepers. Both those teams just score so efficiently that they can win any game.
That game was the best. That actually is the best game thus far, and there have been some good ones.
That game was amazing.
That Cove tip-in, crazy. Jack, we'll go to you, bro.
And then Celtics. The Celtics are the sleepers in the East because I think you guys, 4 efficient scorers who can put up, each one of them can put up 30 any night.
Yeah. Jalen is – I mean, I've been a huge Jalen proponent from the start of the season, and I'm glad that, A, people are buying into him, and, B, that he's proving it time in and time out. Every game looks better.
I have a list of players on NBA teams who are truly the best players on their team, but the media won't allow that. So, like, for example, Anthony Davis, Jaren Jackson Jr., Jaylen Brown's pretty close for me for the Celtics. Tatum and Kemba are better, but it's not by far. And you see today, like, it's any day for those three players.
I think the Jaren Jackson Jr. thing is not true, but it's interesting in the sense that he is really wet. He can really hit it from anywhere, man.
Shooting 40% from three. It's ugly. Don't get me wrong. Like, the shot today where it looked like he just threw it
so
up.
So funny. Toss
that is his
three-point
shot.
Toss said the same thing the other day, that it is a disgusting shot, but he just pops it. It's kind of like, it looks like Steph's a little bit, honestly, where he just shot puts it, but he just gets it over people.
Weird. He also, like, he catches the ball at the three-point line, and, like, he can break a guy, a big man, down and get by him easy.
Yeah, he's nasty.
Good ball. Yeah.
My squads, I've been Clips Bucks finals. I think the first two rounds of the playoffs, the Bucks, I would be surprised if they lose more than one game. Genuinely, I think they're that much better. The Heat might give them problems, but like the Pacers, they would run through as well. And then what they're gonna do to the Nets, like, they can't put those games on television. It's actually gonna be disturbing. The Clippers. It depends who ends up in the seven. I think, like Toss was saying, the Mavs could win games, and Luka could win a game a night, Porzingis could win a game a night, but to win four against that team, it's probably not going to happen. And then the question is, you know, Western Conference Finals, Lakers, Clippers, they're just – it's about that depth, but like we were just talking about, 6-7-8. And their 6-7-8 is mostly focused on two guys who average 18 a game. So I think they're too deep. Bucket getters, etc. And then in the East, after last night, the Raptors are probably the team that gives the Bucks the biggest problem, because they have the blueprint. They literally did it last season, and they look good. They're just so sound defensively. But Fred VanVleet played like Stephen Curry in the Eastern Conference Finals. To repeat that, plus Middleton played awful. It just seems like they now have like that 6-7-8 that can kind of match up. Sneaky players in Connaughton when he gets back. And I think the Bucks are going to be there. Sleeper teams, like, we want the Rockets to be a sleeper, but it's just because they're so much fun. And I love Russ and I love James Harden. But it's,
I'm glad I'm not
alone.
They just
can't
there.
Do it for four. I don't think they can get it done for four games.
Just too small.
Too small. CP3 is my favorite player. I think they're going to win their first round series against the Jazz if that's who they end up with. But the Lakers and Clippers are cream of the crop. And I genuinely think the Raptors are starting to distance themselves. I don't think there's many sleepers. And in the NBA, like, people don't realize super teams and the best teams, they tend to win the game.
Yeah. Very few surprises. Nick, I'm going to kick it to you in a second. But the thing about FVV, Fred VanVleet, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, we could do a little lookup. I think this is his contract year, correct? Like, he's asking.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's asking for the bag.
Year, yeah.
So maybe he won't be able to recreate the Steph Curry magic he had in the Eastern Conference Finals. But when you're doing something for money, and I don't know, Nick, you can agree with me. When you're like, I don't know if you guys have waited tables before, but when you're waiting tables and every table counts and you need those dollar bills to rack up, you're going to do everything you can to get that bag. And so if Fred VanVleet's waiting tables that night, you better believe you're getting the best damn service he can possibly find, because he needs to eat and needs to pay rent.
I do think, Jack, you brought up Chris Middleton and Fred VanVleet, and I think they're still both severely underrated. Like, I think they're
Middleton, I mean, shooting 40, 50, 90. Like, come on.
Yeah, he's incredible.
He's gotten better. He's already won most improved player, but he continues to get better. That's the most impressive thing about him.
Yeah. Nicholas.
I still got the Clippers coming out of the West, obviously. I had the Celtics coming out of the East. I still think they're the biggest problem for the Bucks. The first game that they played against the Bucks, Tatum played like hot garbage. I mean, if he plays well, then that's a closer game. I mean, the game was close throughout the middle of the game, and then they created separation at the end. But I mean, if Tatum is playing to his full potential, then that's a problem there. I liked what I saw out of the Heat, but they're not going to give the Bucks serious problems later on. And then from the West, I mean,
Nick, our good friend Dean Kara, he'll reel off stats about the Heat all day. They're like undefeated. The Heat somehow have not lost a game to the top teams in the East. It's bizarre.
Right. No, I mean, they're, look, Josh is high on them too. I mean, he likes Bam. He has like the biggest boner for Bam I've ever seen in my life. So
he's a good player.
He is. He's a good player. Well, Josh already thinks he's a superstar, though. I don't think he's a superstar yet.
Yeah, biggest boner.
Superstar gets thrown around a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard someone call Rodney Hood a superstar once.
Not his mom.
Yeah.
But in the West, I mean, the Rockets scoring is unbelievable, but the defense is trash, obviously. I mean, OKC is fun to watch, but no one's going to take down the Lakers or Clippers. I mean, there's not really a dark horse in the West, I feel.
Do you think we're overlooking that? This might be a dumb thing to say, but the young legs, the fresh legs, has been made. A lot of people have talked about it. We haven't really gotten into like the wear and tear that these games back, like night after night, are gonna wear down these teams. Is that gonna happen? What do you guys think about that?
I don't think it's gonna happen. They've had like over four months to be
Ron revitalized.
Showing, you know? Exactly.
Yeah, I think correct. I think they're full sea bass. They're Chilean, man. Nothing, no issues there.
Before you go to Abe, Kreider said you guys said the Rockets defense. What we talked about was, when you watch the Mavs game, yeah, like when Boban caught the air ball and put it in, the height killed them. But what killed them that night was perimeter defense, which should not technically be a problem for them. So I'm curious to see what they do over the next seven games. Like Trey Burke hit eight threes. Hardaway was hooping.
Trey Burke was insane.
You also, like, you're talking about the most efficient. I mean, obviously I'm a homer, but like you're talking about the most efficient offense in the NBA. They're built off of Luka breaking down that first defender and then getting wide open shots. So I don't know if that's necessarily going to happen with every other team that the Rockets play. Right. They have quote unquote good perimeter defenders in Covington, Tucker, and you know, that's pretty much it.
Harden play good defense. Harden, Abe and I hate
Harden,
the ref.
Harden is
defense.
A good defender. He is a good, solid defender.
It's effort at times, but overall, he's not fine. Like,
especially
not
out of the post. Right. Especially out of the post.
You made Porzingis look like a child. That's
I would argue that he's a more disciplined defender now than Russ is, honestly. Yeah. Like, Russ is still the one who's going
Man,
for
Russ
those.
Has turned the ball over so much last game, though, too. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah,
welcome to Russ's career. Bro.
Russ loves cookies, like? Though.
He does.
Nick and I
Josh,
went to...
back to your point really quickly in terms of the wear and tear. There's no travel. So, I mean, I think that's a big deal in the NBA. I mean, they're always spending time on flights and traveling. So that's definitely helping.
That's what I think is the most interesting part of this whole format is you go down, like we look at Bucks Raptors last year, right? Bucks went up 2-0 conference finals. But the Raptors don't technically have to panic. Of course, they have to win game three, but the Bucks have taken care of business. If you're playing in the same gym two nights later, nothing has changed. Mentally, how do you say to yourself, especially if like the Bucks killed them in those first two games, how are you going to be like, well, if we do this differently, like when you're just getting beat across the board? That's what's interesting. We could see more sweeps. We could see more momentum.
Yeah, I like that point. Abe, we'll go to you, man.
Yeah, so I'm on your podcast, so I won't be like that much of an asshole.
No, it's fine. Please, please. We love it.
So originally when we did our predictions, I predicted the Sixers versus the Lakers, and I didn't predict a champion. Jack, shut up. The reason I picked the Sixers is because at the end of the day, no one can deny the talent that we have. We're on paper, we're very talented. Does it mesh? Whole different conversation. Since the first weekend, obviously, I can't say I'm as confident in the Sixers as other teams. Like Milwaukee, obviously, would be the first team. But in terms of giving Milwaukee the biggest problem, I still like Boston. I said it to Jack because if you look at how the Bucks have played this year, they deny the paint more than anyone in the league. They let you shoot threes. And the Celtics have those wing players to get it done. Now, can they stop Giannis on the other end of the floor is a whole different story. You got to block them off, and that's where I think they – on the defensive end, the Raptors have a better chance of stopping Giannis. The Sixers have a better chance just throwing bodies at him. But offensively, I think the Celtics can score with them like no other. And I think that they could have a chance to give them some trouble. I still think that the Sixers are going to the Eastern Conference Finals. Don't get it twisted.
Okay.
In the West, I was hype on the Lakers all year. That first game, though they won, was discouraging for the reason. They pulled out a 2-point win without two guys that total up to 36 points a game off the bench. And that's something. They didn't struggle. The Clippers didn't struggle. They kept on it at the Lakers all game. And I think that's very vital to how that series is going to go down. Because like you guys said, they can throw a million bodies at them. Do I think the Raptors in the East have a chance? Listen, man, they're a good story. They're fun. But when it comes down to it, like Jack said, the superstars win it. And I don't think Pascal is that guy yet. is that number one go get a bucket in the fourth quarter of a game seven type player. They're fun, they're deep, they're well coached. And what we said about Fred VanVleet, it's funny that you guys are about him getting the bag. You know what he reminds me of? Because he's going out there, getting it so hard, trying to get all of his money he can and put out those stats. To me, he's going to be the next Terry Rozier. Someone is going to overpay him to be a starting point guard where he has to make the most out of a bad situation. And I don't think he's that type of player. I think
that's ludicrous. That's
bring him to the garden, baby. Overpay for Freddie.
Sure. Fred VanVleet, he would help y'all's franchise because he's so much better of a player than Terry Rozier.
I think he's perfect comparison. I think he is perfect for what he is right now for the Raptors.
I don't think he could be a number one guy. And I don't think Terry can be a number one guy, but he got that money. But I think he's more efficient, and I think he'll put himself in a better situation. I don't think he's a winner. I don't think he's going to go to a situation like Terry did with the Hornets where it's a franchise that's stuck in mediocrity or worse. Like I don't foresee him going to like a Phoenix or a Minnesota. I see Fred VanVleet going, okay, who's going to pay me the most money? Who can afford to pay me the most money of the top-tier teams? Can I go to Utah?
You also –
Now you're judging his character.
Which is a huge part of Fred VanVleet.
No, I agree. Yeah. I agree.
I also think it's just absurd to compare a player, Josh Bucks with them, as he likes to say. I think it's absurd to compare a player who played on an overperforming Celtics team who was way too early blossoming in that series where they lose Kyrie Irving and they still go so far. Mm. And Terry Rozier is not even he's not even the fifth best player on the team.
Yeah.
To a guy who's arguably the third or fourth best player.
You know VanVleet starts now.
On the team
I think what I'm saying with this is somebody is going to overpay him to do more than he can handle.
I agree with Abe's point to where he can't go to the Knicks and be expected to be, you know,
exactly.
The leader.
I think a team will make him do that.
I think that
you think if you're an NBA free agent, you're getting overpaid no matter what.
Yeah, Tim Fimazzo.
Especially in this free agency class, too. It's because the tiers, he's in that, like, second tier, which, like, there are a lot of guys that are better than Fred VanVleet in the league.
Yeah.
But because he's one of the top guys in free agency this coming summer. That's hilarious. he's gonna get overpaid.
Other than Anthony Davis, who is that class this year? Drummond has that $4 billion player option with the Cavs.
He's staying.
It's Davis and everyone else.
Yeah, it's Davis, Montrez, and FEV. Look, I think FEV, I think he's going to go to a place where he can win. I just think that of his character, nothing against Scary Terry. And I also think Scary Terry played well over what he was as a player in that playoff run. It's like, I'm a good dancer right now, but three shots of tequila, I'm insane. Like, I'm moving, I'm doing things I didn't even know I could do. And I'm like sore the next day. I know I'm insane. Right. People.
Rozier has those same fits.
Yeah, exactly, dude. So it's like, it's a big difference for me. But I'll close out in this section. I'll go with the Clippers. I'm in on them, and I'll go with the Bucks. I like my Celtics. I like Jaylen Brown. I think he can get buckets in any which way possible. He's excellent at getting to the line. I said that to Toss today. He's really good at creating his own shot, and he's clutch as shit. He scored 16 in the fourth, which was amazing. I just don't know if we have an answer on the interior defenses we brought up earlier for Giannis. But I want to look out for – I don't want to show my Bam boner in public, but, like, look out for the Heat because they
already have, bro.
They move the ball like no other. They move the ball unbelievably well. And there's a lot of guys on that team that can hit. A lot of Harrow, Crowder, Duncan Robinson. All these guys can just stand there and bang threes, and they're dangerous. And Jimmy Butler's another superstar who doesn't need to get 30-plus a game. He can go get
either – who can't bang threes. He can't bang threes.
No,
he
cannot bang threes. No, but he can go get you that 22 and then do what he needs to do on the other – around the ball. And I think the Thunder are more than a fun team. I also think they're quite dangerous and a team I wouldn't want to see in the first round. But I don't foresee them doing damage, so I'll put my number to – I think it's Clippers-Lakers, and then I'll throw in the Rockets just because where they're fun and I'm rooting for Russ and Harden.
It's funny that nobody mentioned – which makes me very, very happy. Nobody mentioned the Denver Nuggets once.
Because
I was about to say that. They have not been mentioned once on this podcast.
They're not at full tilt. I don't think Murray is fully healthy right now, and I also don't think – I think Murray – knows your boy, Jack. I think Murray is 1 year away. I think next year –
for sure.
Porter Jr. taking that next step, with Jokic continuing to take step step. Bol Bol, I'm not going to drink that Kool-Aid till I see him do it for more than a couple scrimmages, but he looks like he has some serious potential. Gary Harris didn't take that jump for me. I think Will Barton's solid. I would love to see them go get Bradley Beal if that's possible, or at least DeRozan or something like that.
I want to see Bradley Beal accomplish something. I don't want to see him go to Denver.
Dude, Denver, Denver's
so
a great place.
I am so bearish. I am so bearish.
You hate Denver. Always I just have. No, it's because he's bitter because Jokic, until he got skinny, was better than Embiid, and he couldn't.
That's just not true. That's just not true.
Nah, that's a tough one. Why? That's a tough one, man. That's a tough one.
For me, Denver, Denver has that team that just everyone can.
They're the Hawks. They're the Hawks of 2008.
Or the Grizzlies.
Perfect. Or the Grizzlies. Me and Jack call them. Me and Jack call them cuties on our podcast.
They're cuties. Cute. Nice. I think that Denver team could shock some people. I just don't foresee them getting past the Clippers and the Lakers, and they're not as sexy to talk about as the other teams. Just to be honest.
I'll be happy if I get to see Nuggets 7-foot lineup against Rockets small ball 3-6 matchup. That so would fun. Be great. That would be fun. That the Nuggets, thank you for your service. We'll talk to you next.
Thank you. Wow. Dismissing them that quickly. That's great.
I'm
all
with
right.
you, Jack. I'm with you.
All right, that's basketball talk, guys.
Before we talk some other sport, I want to pose a question to everyone here. All right.
Nick.
Lou Will left the bubble to get some wings, maybe a lap dance.
I told you, Jack, by the way. I told you it wasn't just food.
But here's the thing. What are the top three things that you guys would leave the bubble for?
Ooh, wow.
Kick it off.
Me kick it. I mean, my top three things are all gonna be really dismal, man. I don't want to do this.
Come on.
We'll source it as a group.
Like all right,
a death in the family is like that's what I'm leaving the
bubble. Come on,
come on.
Got sad.
You guys are like, I'm a diehard hooper. I love getting out there and playing. Nothing would keep me from leaving the bubble. I don't think you understand how much I love basketball.
It looks so fun in there.
Yeah.
Like the fact that anyone – you get to leave your annoying wife or girlfriend. You get to leave the kids behind. You get to play basketball with your best friends and chill for 4 months in Florida.
Oh, Corey Brewer was talking about how they go fishing. He was so pumped about that. He's like, we got a bowling alley. We go fishing.
I would leave for Emma Watson, if I'm getting specific.
I was gonna say Blake Lively.
Yeah, if Reynolds and her break up and it's just like open season. If Natalie Dormer DM me is like, hey, listen, if you leave the bubble and come to King's Landing, I'm catching the next dragon over. I'm going to Natalie Dormer.
Honestly, I don't wanna be within 4 miles of smelly, stupid Jared Dudley, so I don't even need to go to the bubble.
The hate is really opting out of the season. Nick, what would you leave for? Last, I feel like there's something.
Hold on, Nick. I'll give you one. If it were the last time I could ever eat something, like if that was on the table, I would have a Whataburger honey barbecue chicken strip sandwich. Like if I would go out and get that. I'm just saying, like if it were the last time I could have it. I knew I could never have it ever again. A doctor told me that if I ever had it again, I would die. Like that's
so it's the Lulu mentality, because he went to Magic City to get wings. So maybe he assumed that like the wings were coming off the menu there. I don't know.
Charles Barkley on Inside the NBA said he didn't go for wings. He went for legs and thighs.
Charles,
you gotta give credit. It was Kenny the Jet. Give him.
Was it Kenny?
He's not creative. Yes, formulated.
All right, dude. That's not the point. The point was it was a great joke. Whoever said.
And I want to give Kenny the Jet proper credit.
Because right, that Kenny is a 10 out of 10 joke. Unbelievable. All right. This is how we do it on the show when we have guests on the show, guys. We do everybody that comes on, we do this, and we got to get it from you guys because I'm expecting some good ones from each of you. Your favorite sports memory could be from you playing, could be from you from watching, anything outside the box, anything you could think of. Abe, we'll go with you first. Your favorite all-time sports memory.
The Eagles winning the Super Bowl was something that if it never happened again, I could die happy, because I didn't think that my grandchildren's grandchildren were going to see that happen. And the way it happened, just the story with Foles and Wentz and everything that was going on that year and being an underdog. And I was right in Center City, Philadelphia.
One seed underdog, yeah, for sure.
We definitely were the underdog in every game, but I'll just never experience anything like that, because I didn't think it was ever going to happen. And it was just the parade. I'll just never forget it.
Yeah.
That, I'm not like you. I'm not like a spoiled Boston fan
who has
signs of parades. Like, this is my 11th in 9 years.
It's so interesting. It's like one man's pleasure is another man's pain, right? I think Josh cried that night.
That was the most upset I've ever been after a sporting event. And it was because I actually have a question for you about Philly fans, but I will say this in that notion first. It was Brady crushed it. Everyone like on our team, like at least offensively, played well.
Right.
And no matter, it was literally like a fucking Apollo Creed Rocky moment where like we beat the shit out of them and they just keep coming back and back and back. And like, I know I apparently have a huge,
you're like getting me off right now.
I apparently have a huge Bam boner, but I still don't think as big as my Bam boner is, it's bigger than Nick Foles' dick that night. It was just on the floor, dragging up and down the sidelines. Every throw he needed to make, fuck that dumbass Philly special, because to me that's like an overrated play. It's like not that sick. What's sick is every goddamn time he needed to make a throw, he was actually like flawless. He played flawless football, and he can't do it anywhere else. Unless he's wearing an Eagles uniform, he cannot play to save his life. But if he's in an Eagles uniform, he's absolutely flawless. And I also don't like the Phillies put together a team, and it's like good on paper, never pans out, at least hasn't in the last couple of years. The Sixers, I don't know. We're seeing that right now, but they could perform, remains to be seen. The Eagles
it sucks being a Philly fan.
But like at least you're always in it. Like I feel like it'd be like I feel like
it's Philly... almost worse. It's almost worse always being in it. You know what I mean? Because you guys are fans, you guys all have your false confidence in your teams. Like even
Nick has false confidence in his teams. Come on, man. That's not that guy.
Nah, Philly fans are the worst. It's kind of crazy. It's humorous until you tweeted out
that Jack, you tweeted out if AD, Kyrie, and Zion aren't Knicks this season, you would Venmo everyone $20.
But that's the thing, is you knew that deep down, like I'm kidding, and not kidding. It's just like I am not going to be surprised if that doesn't happen.
No, I'm not going
to be surprised if the Sixers don't go to the finals.
Correct. It is full on a disease that you cannot cure, and it sucks. But when it pays out dividends, such as that Super Bowl, there's nothing like it. Like I don't know what I'll do if the Sixers ever win a championship. I don't know how I'll react.
I had 48 missed FaceTimes from Abe that night.
You were the last thing on my mind if the Sixers win the championship.
Refused to pick up that night. My favorite sports moment, honestly, the Ravens 2012 Super Bowl was like miserable. It was more like a relief when we ended up winning it after Jimmy Smith played incredible defense on Michael Crabtree in
pass
the corner
interference.
Blatant hold. It's not a moment, but just this past Ravens season, like Abe said, it's fun when you're in it from the outside, but like it's excruciating. Ravens football over the past 10 years has been incredible, but every year it just always ends in heartbreak. I mean, the most heartbreaking one was the one against the Patriots, obviously. But it's like even when we were 10-6, even when we went to AFC Championships, even when we won the Super Bowl, it was not enjoyable. And then this year with Lamar, like just you prove everyone wrong constantly. Like Lamar went from he's a running back, he shouldn't even play quarterback, so he goes 6-1, plays horrible in the playoffs. He can't throw, leads the league in passing touchdowns, and now he can't win a playoff game. And then when he wins a playoff game this year, it's just going to continue to mount. So watching Lamar's progression, it's like genuinely fun for the first time ever as a Ravens fan. And he's the baby goat and the best player in the world as ranked by the NFL.
That's a good transition into getting into that. So, Abe, how do you feel about Lamar being number one?
It's just blasphemous.
Well, all right, time out. It was voted during the regular season at the end of the
I don't give
season.
A shit. It's still blasphemous. Like, what more does
Why? At that point, it is not blasphemous at all.
What more does Patrick Mahomes have to do? Like, the NFL just fucked up.
At that point, it was not blasphemous in the slightest.
Can you even take the list seriously?
No, you cannot take the list seriously. Jack, right now, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, pick one. Who do you want for your team?
Right now on the contract that Patrick Mahomes just signed?
Shut the fuck up. Just answer the question.
I'm dead serious. That matters.
No, we're going to play in the backyard.
How about this?
That's a very franchise.
Lamar Jackson. I think... Lamar Jackson, because Patrick Mahomes' weapons, like people don't understand, he's got Travis Kelce, he's got Tyreek Hill, and Sammy Watkins, right? You can't sleep on that. Tom Brady, when Tom Brady had weapons, Gronk became the greatest tight end ever, and Randy Moss threw for and they paired up for the most touchdowns ever, and they almost went undefeated. Like, he has weapons. Now he signs that contract. One thing's going to go, weapons or defense. Pick or choose, it's going to fault their team. No one is that good to overcome that. Look at Aaron Rodgers. Look at Peyton Manning.
I'm with you. There's no one that's that good, but I think...
But Mahomes could be.
I just don't even think like I have a we'll do this really quickly because I want to go real quick because I think that was a great lead in Nick. Cause I have a list and I'll play to Tony Reality, you four. We'll go Nick, we'll go you first always, then Abe, then we'll go Jack, and then we'll close out with Toss. So in that order. All right, real quick, rapid fires because I have some of these from that list.
All right, is it quick, Josh, or is it quick?
It's gonna be so fast. I just don't blink is all I'm saying. Okay. There are four players who have always been on the top 100 list, all right? Larry Fitzgerald, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees. Rapid fire, Nick, Abe, Jack, Toss, rank those guys for you in that order. So, Nick.
Say it one more time.
Fitz, Tom. Brady, Rodgers, Brees.
Okay.
Career-wise, rank them?
Yep.
One Brady, two Brees, three Fitzgerald, four Rodgers.
Abe?
One Brady, two Brees, three Rodgers, four Fitzgerald, just because what's a wide receiver's not winning you anything.
Okay. Jack?
Am I up?
Yep.
Brady, Rodgers, Brees, Fitz.
Interesting. And then Toss.
I've got the same as a okay. Brady, Brees, Rodgers, Fitz.
The Brees-Rodgers conversation's interesting.
Yeah, I'm shocked all three of you went Brees over Rodgers. And look, I think Rodgers is the worst quarterback in the NFL right now. Like, he just doesn't play to win football games. He plays to pad his stats, and he's extremely overrated. But when he was in his prime, they won the Super Bowl as the wild card, or as 10-6, then the next year they're 15-1, and the same conversation about Rodgers as they have about Mahomes now, like, Rodgers is going to be the best ever. Like, he was that good. His arm strength, his accuracy, his smarts. He was doing it with no offensive line and no defense. Like, he was that good. At his peak, he was better than Drew Brees. Brees has just done it for longer.
I think his career
is better. It's kind of like Michael Jordan and LeBron. LeBron's incredible at compiling these stats over the course of 17 years. Michael Jordan at his peak, one game. Like, who would you take one game you need to win? Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees? Would any of you say Brees?
I think I would.
I would. Really?
I would.
Interesting.
I think Brees is a fucking winner, and I'm much more confident in it.
Brees is a winner?
I mean, they've won the same number of Super Bowls. Yeah, he wins. He wins games. He's come close. He was closer.
All they've done over the past 4 years is have the best roster in football and not got the job done.
You want to talk about pass interference.
I mean, Packers haven't gotten jumped on either.
Salty. Yeah, Packers haven't gotten jumped on either. There's trouble in paradise now. I'd rather have Brees in the locker room. I watch Brees like give a pregame speech and I'm like, give me a helmet. I haven't played since middle school, but fuck it. I'm in. Just give me like I'll do kickoffs. Like, I'll nail somebody. That's how I feel about that. All right. Top three QBs.
I wanna get quickly back to the top 100 list. So Russell Wilson's number two.
That's what I was going to, yeah.
Who would you rather have in a 2-minute drill down by six, Russ, Mahomes, or Lamar?
Mahomes.
Not Lamar. That's Mahomes. That's not his strong suit. We know that.
Mahomes. Wilson's tough, though.
Mahomes is the best anything I've ever seen ever. Plain and simple.
I think Trout, to me, is more remarkable, but I think Mahomes is great. I also think that – I think that's a better phraseology than I had, Nick. Do you guys think those are the top three quarterbacks in the league, though, right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, Nick. No. Let's hear it.
I still think Brees is up there.
Okay.
Over Lamar.
Okay. And then, Nick, who would you would want – would you want Russ? Because you know I'm going with Russ. It's tough because Mahomes just did it. I mean, he just won the Super Bowl. He is the best.
It's impossible to grade Russ. I hope he gets traded. Pete Carroll is like the worst thing that ever happened. And Brian Schottenheimer are like the worst thing that have ever happened to Russell Wilson.
That's the hottest
that team is.
Time.
What do you mean?
I don't get that.
Do you guys not know like how much they limit Russell Wilson's game? Like,
why don't you tell us?
They're so run dominant. They are so
he also
bad
stays
for Russell
so healthy
Wilson.
Though. He stays so healthy.
But what's that have to do with?
But you win games. But you, like, outside this Chiefs team, the Niners got to the Super Bowl by running the football. Y'all ran the football. Titans ran the football. You know, Packers this year more than ever ran the football. I hate to say it. If you run the ball, you win the game. You open up play action. You got a guy like Russell Wilson. Even if he's not the same kind of threat as he used to be running the football himself, him rolling out is lethal. And now that he's got DK and he's got Lockett, and I don't know.
And they're still only letting Russ throw the ball 22 times a game.
I'm going with Mahomes.
If they're losing a game, they're only losing by – like, they always have a chance in a game.
Always.
Because that's what that system builds. It's you control the clock, and you control giving yourself a chance at the end of the game to win the game. And who better to do it than Russell Wilson? I mean, every single year, we all sleep on them because their roster through and through doesn't
terrible.
Get them anywhere. Terrible. And they always
– Because he's that good.
To the playoffs.
Yeah, no, he is that good.
And I think I'm going to retract my statement. And I think since Tom Brady, Russell Wilson is the most confident guy I have at the end of a game. I just feel like every time they're within a score and he has the football, I'm like, okay, I'm not even feeling like there's a shot. I'm feeling confident because you guys don't know what the feeling is like. But being a Patriots fan, having Tom Brady, you legitimately like you talk about. You talk about a disease. I literally think we're going to win every time.
You did win every time.
Josh, I literally was freaking out. I actually thought that, like, you guys had, 45 seconds to go down the field from the 5-yard line because you guys tried to do that trick play at the end of the Super
Bowl. I thought we were going to win.
And I still thought that Hail Mary, I was
freaking out. And almost got caught.
I totally agree. It's just with Brady.
Always.
It was just, they're always going to go down.
You might pick Mahomes, Abe. You might pick Mahomes, but – let's say you're on the other side of the ball. Who don't you want to see? I think I'm with them. I think I don't want to see Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah
but I think one more year, Mahomes does it one more year, then our minds changed. You know, right. Like it's like
– Mahomes just doesn't have that many two-minute drill. He came back 3 times double digits in the playoffs. You give him a lot of time, but he doesn't have like – you know Russ has done it two-minute drill.
The biggest thing with Patrick Mahomes for me, it's like Rodgers had McCarthy. Shit. Jack thinks Pete Carroll sucks, but I mean, realistically, he's a
good
coach.
Not as a coach.
Anyway, Mahomes has a match made in heaven with Andy Reid.
Correct.
Andy Reid turned an average Donovan McNabb into a guy that went to 4 straight NFC championship games and went to a Super Bowl. He couldn't get over the hump, but he has Patrick Mahomes, who can get over the hump. And I think that relationship is what is going to separate Mahomes from the guys that, which is crazy to me, because we talk about the Rodgers, the Brees, the Wilsons. They all have one. Oh, no, Russ has two, doesn't he?
One.
No, just one.
Russ has, he went to two. They all have one Super Bowl, and Mahomes has that. And you think, like, yeah, he's that great, but Jack has a point. We said the same thing about Rodgers. Like, is this the best arm talent we've ever seen? Like, yeah, Brady's the greatest, but is Rodgers the best? You could say that about Mahomes, but the fact that he has Andy Reid on his side going through this and the weapons
huge,
already in place.
Huge. That's the closest thing you could get to a Brady Belichick. Like, you finally have the good coach.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Bron lacked his whole career. Like, this is why, out of all of them, why my take is still, like, we got to see what happens with Mahomes when he's taking up a large part of the cap. But the difference is now you have a really good coach. I mean, Abe says Reed's going to stay. I feel like Reed got a Super Bowl. He's older.
They're going to have something in place, though. They always do franchises like that. You don't – and Reed's a guy that's going to leave with something in place. He's not going to let the door close behind him in that sense.
Right.
I also think – I mean, I think I'm a Pete Carroll fan through and through. Pete Carroll, talking about a winner, crushed it at USC, crushes it
huge
in Seattle,
winner.
Wins it everywhere he goes. I'll ask you guys a couple more rankums, though, for me. Nick, I'll go to you again. Rookies, there are 4 rookies on this NFL 100 list, all right? Just rank them real quick. Guys that you loved, Nick Bosa, DK Metcalf, Josh Jacobs, Kyler Murray, in order of how you think they'll be in the future, their future superstardom, so to speak.
Nick Bosa, number one, without a doubt.
Okay.
I mean, he was an all-pro level defensive end last year. I think he's better than his brother.
Okay.
And then I'm saying that as a Chargers fan.
That's
number two. I think potential wise, I think DK has the potential to be like a true like stud in the NFL. So I'll go him number 2. 3, Kyler, and then Jacobs 4, just because the running back position is so expendable and you never know. I mean, he could be a one and done guy.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Jack and I are as much anti running backs as we are anti Jared.
Unless they're Austin Eckler, right?
Yeah.
Unless they're Austin Eckler. Yeah.
Receiving backs are my shit, but high paid 2 down backs. Ugh.
But yeah. I'll go. Bosa obviously won. Jack and I, and I'm very big on Kyler. I think Kyler
is a trend. He's great.
Town. So I'm going to go Kyler too. Not a big fan of DK either, but I'll go DK three because he's not a running back, and then Jacobs four.
Nice, Jack.
Yeah, I feel like the Eagles like pushed DK Metcalf stock to the moon. Like, where was all the hype for DK Metcalf before that playoff game? It was like he was good, but
he also low key curved us, Jack.
DK. He did.
Yeah. So.
So one, I'm going Kyler. Kyler Murray. I think he makes the Lamar Jackson jump in year two,
mm-hmm.
but his team is not good enough to go 14-2. The division's too tough, so you won't see him in that MVP conversation. But fantasy-wise, he's the top five fantasy quarterback this year without a doubt in my mind. Give him D-Hop. It's actually disturbing. That team might score 50. They'll let out 51, though. Number two, Bosa. Three, DK. D-Calf, I was about to call him. I think he got called that. And then four, running backs. Like, come on.
Yeah, Toss, we'll close out with you, man.
Yeah, Bosa, Murray, DK, Josh Jacobs.
Nice, guys.
Me and Toss are two for two.
Yeah, you guys.
Abe, quit it, man.
Zoom date over there. Guys, Jack, Abe, you guys were awesome. Thank you so much for running it with us. We will run it back, get some more rank-ems and debates going. You can find these guys at Snapchat. I feel like we don't even need to plug that at this point. Everybody and their mother's on that one. Snapback Pod, go to the Instagram. You can check out Jack's new Nerf gun commercial, which is sick. And then like the rest of like myself, Nick, and Toss, you could see Abe at your local Trader Joe's grocery shopping, guys.
Fellas. I hope to get out to that Trader Joe's soon. I want to go out west and see you both.
You guys are welcome anytime.
You just got the handle though for the Snapchat, right?
Yeah, I just got the Snapback Sports, which Snap doesn't let you change the handle, so it was an inside job, which was nice of them to do.
Wow, that's the only way that the 76ers will win too. If there's an inside job in the
game. And on that note,
drops Mike.
Me and Nick will do a Clippers Sixers NBA Finals preview. Yeah, when the time
just
comes.
The two thank of you guys together. Well, y'all Nick, can enjoy that. Anytime, fellas. Of course.
It's not that funny.
Really great stuff. Nothing better than being joined by your boys and talking about some hoops and some football and some baseball just a little bit. We got some Padres in there for Nicky Snacks. The only thing we didn't talk about on the show was food, really. We really didn't. We briefly brought up chicken wings, but that was about it. And had we gone deeper into food with Jack and Abe, there's no doubt in my mind that they, not us, would have brought up our favorite sponsor and current sponsor, Opa Seasonings. Opa Seasonings, the best there is around town and across the globe. Chicken and fish, there's a seasoning for that. Vegetables, a seasoning for that. Salad, seasoning for that. And, of course, the meat seasoning for that. Really great stuff at Opa Seasonings, but go to opafoods.com. Get 10% off with the code THECHARITYSTRIPE. They also give a portion to the homeless because hashtag everybody needs to eat. opaseasonings.com. Hopa! And by opaseasonings.com, I mean opafoods.com, but it's Opa Seasonings, the product that we are pushing because you need it. I've been using it all day, every day for the past couple weeks, and it's actually really good. It's good in my eggs, which I don't know if they advertise, but I've been using the chicken and fish one in my eggs because, well, eggs come from chicken, and that's just how my mind works. But I could be spreading out. I could see how the meat one works in the eggs. I'll report back next week on the pod or next episode on the pod. But, yeah, Jack and Abe, great show. Thank you guys for joining us. And to the fans out there, drag both feet inbound, swing on a full count, rip that puck, hit that putt, hit your PKs because they're free, and hit your free throws. Why, guys? Because they are free. We out you. We love you.
Puts it up.
It's Lillard. He got the shot off.
Derek Jeter, where fantasy becomes reality.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.